Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I had to give him songs in the key of life. Like that has to be in your collection.
That's, yes.
It's just.
That is a must.
It's just musical nirvana.
As. That's the tune.
I'm a big fan of Az. Anyway, we could go down this
Stevie
rabbit
Wonder
hole.
Song draft.
I mean, we got the right people because Campy's a huge Stevie Wonder
fan. Oh, that's right. That's right. Can Tony play along?
I don't think. Do you know who Stevie Wonder is, Tony?
The songs were put out before the year started with a 2.
He's going to choose Gangster's Paradise. No, it's Pastime Paradise.
The Happy Birthday song.
Okay. I mean, I'll take it. Who was the Happy Birthday song made for?
Oh, that's a good question. Happy birthday.
And it's not Happy Gilmore.
Happy birthday.
I'm gonna go with
somebody important.
Real important.
Real important.
Martin Luther King.
Yes!
Yes!
Woo!
I don't know if MLK was a White Sox fan, but whatever. It's totally fine.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Tony Gill is the best. Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. We are going to have a Bears-Raiders preview. JJ Stankovic is going to join me at 1 o'clock today from London. I'm going to ask him, should we be worried about Taylor Gabriel? Like, we should probably be worried, right? Anyway, we'll discuss that coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll ask him about Roquan Smith. He's apparently on the practice field. It is weird to cover your team when they are 6 or 7 hours away because I woke up this morning. I'm like, oh, yeah, the Bears are just now getting ready to practice. And I'm seeing all the reporters that are there, like, breaking all this stuff down. It's the same way for the Blackhawks because they are playing in Prague coming up in about an hour or so. So here's what I decided to do. I knew that we were going to at some point do a preview of the season. And I was like, well, Jay Zawoski's here, but that's easy. What if we ask James Naveau to come in and hang out with us? They are both the host. That's right. 2 times. They are both the hosts of the Madhouse Pod. They are great. They talk hockey. I figured I'd bring the smart people in to talk hockey. So if you wanted to get your Blackhawks season preview today, you are going to get it for the next half hour or so. So I welcome you, gentlemen. If you were on the phone, I would tell you that you were joining me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline where you can find 500 new and used vehicles. But they are here in studio, which makes this hockey conversation even better. Hello, men.
Hey, thanks for having us. We appreciate the publicity for the podcast and for having us to talk Hawks.
And it's my first opportunity to actually see the new studio, so it looks really awesome.
Yeah, and you're allowed to sit, James. Like, you don't have to stand. You can sit in that chair and we can just, you know, have a conversation.
Well, I was copying off of Jay because he's trying to look all Mr. Cool and Casual standing over there in his, what is that, an Arby's shirt? I can't tell what that is.
It's a Bobber shirt, you ass. How do I know that and you think it's Arby's?
So I was looking at the logo on his sleeve. It looks like the Arby's hat.
Oh, that is the logo is actually Mitten State. That's the maker of the shirt. Because it's technically a Red Wing shirt, because it's red and white. But Bob Probert also played for the Blackhawks, and they wear red too, so I can wear this shirt.
So I asked these guys to come in, one, because they have an incredible podcast. You guys are doing an event tonight too, right? Or today?
It's not so much an event as much as, hey, if you're downtown and you want to watch the game, come meet us at the Bulldog Ale House, 901 South State. We're just going to go there and watch the game, and if people want to show up and join us, feel free.
So after you guys are done talking hockey with me, you're going to head down there.
Yes, sir.
Sounds excellent. So I have a lot of questions for you guys about the Blackhawks as they embark on this season, and wanted to pick you guys' brains about this thing. All right, so last year, in the second half of the season, you saw the Blackhawks turn it on from a point standpoint. Were they second
in the division as far as points go, and they still missed the playoffs by 6 points. What were the biggest reasons why last year's team made it 2 years in a row that the Hawks didn't make the playoffs?
They could not keep the puck out of the back of their own net. They were awful in team defense. Part of it was that Corey Crawford wasn't healthy the whole year. Cam Ward was subpar. Colin Delia came in and was fine. But the combination of not great goaltending and terrible defense and the worst penalty kill in the entire league, that's a recipe for disaster. They had a solid offense. They scored a lot. You had career years from Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and somehow still didn't make the playoffs. That's because the team defense was so, so terrible.
Yeah, the injuries definitely did not help them. But like you said, Jay, they just didn't have the horses on defense last year. When they traded away Nick Hjalmarsson, that really set their defense back a lot. And then you had guys that came in like your Erik Gustafssons, who can put up a lot of points. He had 60-ish points last season, but he just can't defend at all. And their forward group wasn't good on defense either. So they were really having difficulty not only getting the puck away from their opponents, but then they, you know, keeping them out of the net too was just a huge issue for them. And they worked on it really hard this offseason. That was obviously a big point of concern for Stan Bowman, invested in goaltending and on defense. That was definitely the big issue last season.
So does them adding Mata and Dahan, is that going to make them better?
Absolutely. It's definitely going to make them better. Olli Mata had a down year with Pittsburgh last year. He was banged up a lot. He's 25 years old and has 2 Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh. He's a guy you can count on for defense. Calvin Dahan also is a very prototypical 3 or 4 stay-at-home style defenseman. He's a great leader. He will be adored in the locker room. But aside from the defensemen they've added, they brought back Andrew Shaw, who can kill penalties, win faceoffs, a right-handed faceoff winner. Zach Smith replaced Artem Anisimov. That's a big upgrade defensively. That's a guy who will go in corners, win battles, finish checks, and kill penalties as well. So it wasn't just the defensemen they added, but some of the forwards they brought in are going to help in that way as well.
So the Shaw return isn't just a PR thing. There's actual hockey benefits to bringing him back.
Yes, he's coming off a career season in Montreal, even though he spent some time injured. This is not a retread Brian Campbell, Patrick Sharp sort of a thing. This is a hockey move. And it makes the team better.
Well, with the draft picks they gave up for him, clearly they anticipate he's going to play a big role as that second, third line swing forward that can play either an offensive role for the team if they have to bump him up occasionally or provide that defensive role like Jay was talking about. And then the team really just lacked kind of that sandpaper, grit, physicality last season. I know we kind of poo-poo that a little bit because you want to have guys who can score and guys who can play defense without having to resort to physicality, which can kind of take you out of position sometimes. But you have to have at least some of it, and I think Stan Bowman recognized that this offseason.
Talking with Jay Zawoski, James Naveau, they host the Madhouse Pod. I'm glad that they were able to come and hang out with me for a little bit. They're going to watch the game at the Bulldog Ale House over on State Street after they're done talking with me. The game puck drops at what, 1:30?
1 o'clock.
Yep, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. I thought it was 1:30. Oh, yeah, I guess we are having it on NBC Sports Chicago. All games, by the way, except for 12 for the Blackhawks, are going to be on NBC Sports Chicago.
Very easy.
Very easy. And the games that aren't there will be on NBC Sports Network, cable network.
Correct.
And there are none on NBC so far. That could change, but as it stands right now, none will be on James Naveau's beloved NBC 5.
They had enough people complaining last year that the Blackhawks were on NBC too much. I guess you have to give the people what they want.
Okay, well, they haven't made the playoffs, even though they do have the high brand names, like Kane and Toews. I want to talk, Kane has just been, he's been him for his whole career. Mm-hmm. Toews took a dip over the last 3 years and then bounced back last season. What do you guys think was the reason that we saw him be a better scorer last season?
Just the fact that he had some good line mates coming through. I mean, when you're playing with Alex DeBrincat, that's obviously going to do some good for you. But I just think it was the change in attitude too, right? Like that. Yeah. That definitely, to me, was the big thing. You want to focus strictly on putting the puck in the net and generating offense, especially when you're on a team that's had the kind of defensive struggles that the Blackhawks have had. That's a good way to get some more points on the board.
I think if there's a benefit to missing the playoffs, it's that you're able to recover more. And Jonathan Toews played 82 games last year. And I didn't think going into last year we'd ever see that again for a guy who's battled concussions for years now and just plays a style that lends itself to getting hurt. To see him play healthy the whole year, even look, guys will play hurt. He remained healthy and played that way kind of start to finish. You never saw a drop-off. And from time to time, when Taves is not healthy, you'll see his game slow down. It's noticeable that he's not right. That never happened for him last year. One thing I want to say, though, is while it's probably not reasonable to expect he's going to duplicate what he did last year, I think the additions of Shaw and the addition of Zach Smith as penalty killers will take some of that defensive pressure off of Taves as well. They can have Smith's line with Ryan Carpenter, who they signed as a free agent as well, handle some of those tougher offensive matchups. So Taves is not called on to defend every top line all the time. That will free him up to score, too, a little bit.
Hockey. Let's do that hockey. That's what we're doing. DeBrincat, Strome, Gustafson, career years from points. What was real from what you guys saw? What can they duplicate?
Well, I think Alex DeBrincat, we've seen he can just put the puck in the net at will. I don't think there's any question that he's going to be a perennial 30 to 40 goal scorer, maybe even go a little bit higher than that at times. I think he's proven to be the real deal. And I think that ability to kind of miss checks and to play a little bit better defense, I think, than we probably thought he could. He's a really good back checker. He can get the puck back, especially in the neutral zone. I see a lot of good things happening for him. The big question for me is going to be Dylan Strome, because he's only done this in part of one season playing as a point per game player. And I think that's why the Blackhawks haven't been in a huge rush to re-sign him. I think what's going to end up happening with him is they're going to look to see, hey, can you produce at this level again, playing with roughly the same guys? And if he can, you're going to want to get him locked up to another contract. But to me, he's still a big question mark based on the fact that we simply haven't seen that enough from him in his career, even though what we saw last year was good.
I will get to Gustafson in a second, but one thing about Strome, another added benefit of this DeBrincat contract that got signed yesterday, the $6.4 million deal, is
nice little bridge deal.
Yeah, but not only that, after next season, there's no way Dylan Strome can say, I want as much as DeBrincat. There's no way. So if they can get him locked up for $1 million less, you've got two centerpieces of your future and Strome and DeBrincat locked up for under $12 million. That's really good. And if those guys continue to ascend at the level they have so far, you could have two really good players locked up for a while at really affordable and reasonable deals. And that DeBrincat deal expires
same year as Kane and Taves.
And Duncan Keith, too.
And you could flip those salaries almost. And then you pay DeBrincat that money. And if you want to bring Kane and Taves back for another couple of years at the end of their careers for $3, $4, $5 million, you can do it easily. So that contract is brilliant. I'm amazed they got it done, but I'm thrilled they got it done. As for Gustafson, he can score. There's no doubt about that. I think 60 points might be unreasonable, but when he started getting regular power play time, and that came with Jeremy Cowton, the power play got better and he started racking up points. Here's the issue. You've got Adam Boqvist waiting in the wings. He's absolutely NHL ready. You cannot tell me he's not one of the Hawks' six best defensemen right now, but it's very hard to justify having him and Gustafson in the same defensive unit. That's two, I guess you'd say, like cowboys out there on the ice. And the defensemen you have,
what do you mean by cowboy?
They're risky. They take chances offensively, and that's why you like them. But at the same time, you don't have the guy who's gonna, like Seabrook and Mata don't have, and even Connor Murphy and Calvin DeHaan. None of those guys have the speed to get back and make up for their mistakes like Duncan Keith used to do in the past, where if he made a mistake, that's okay. He's faster than you and he's gonna go catch you. Keith doesn't have that speed anymore. None of the other guys on a team do either. So I think for Boqvist to get here, you might be looking at a Gustafson trade. He's an unrestricted free agent after this year. I don't know how much higher his value will ever be than it is right now. I'm not saying it's imminent, but if they feel like Boqvist needs to play at the NHL level, they might be looking to move out Gustafson.
I've taken a lot of grief for suggesting that the Blackhawks should trade Gustafson before the season. But, I mean, if we see from Adam Boqvist that he can not only play that offensive role, but also play better defense than Gustafson can, which isn't unrealistic to expect of a guy who was a first-round draft pick, I think that the Blackhawks should absolutely look at potentially trading Gustafson. He's a luxury they can afford money-wise, but I don't know if he's a luxury they can afford schematic-wise on the ice.
And you get some picks back. You're not going to get
don't overstate how much a rental player is going to get.
If you can get a third or fourth round pick for him, I think it's probably worth doing.
I think that's a fair assessment of what he could get.
James Neveau and Jay Zawoski host the Madhouse Podcast. They're here with me hanging out as the Blackhawks get ready to drop the puck on the 2019-2020 season. I have more stuff that I want to talk. I want to talk about Kirby Dach. I want to talk about Jeremy Colleton in his first year, what you guys learned about him, and the state of the Blackhawks franchise. I'll do all that with the boys next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Within the vaulted walls of ancient castles, there comes to life the magnificent masterpiece, Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah, I guess we're having like a mini round table with the Madhouse podcast, Jay Zawoski and James Naveau, talking some hockey. I guess I could be the third member of the round table, but the way I look at it is they're the hockey experts, and they were nice enough to come hang out on my show and talk about the Hawks as the Hawks open up the season. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. After we're done with the guys, we are going to shift our attention to Bears Raiders, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. But I still got these guys for another segment. Who's this team's goalie?
Corey Crawford and Robin Lehner.
All right, so if I asked you right now which one of those guys plays the most in net, what would you say?
If all things are equal and both guys are healthy, I think they'll get more starts to Crawford. But that is a huge if.
I was going to say, that is, you're stretching a little bit saying the healthy thing, because Corey Crawford hasn't been able to this in the last couple of years.
Right, and I think it's foolish to expect him to be healthy the whole season this year, too. I think that this season is a rehearsal for Robin Lehner. I think with Corey Crawford's deal expiring at the end of this year, if they bring him back, it's going to be for a very cheap deal, like veteran minimum sort of a deal. I think Robin Lehner might be the team's goalie going forward. They want to see how he handles another year, handling the mental anxiety issues he's had and the addiction issues he's had. And interestingly enough, when he signed here, he was asked how much the Blackhawks pressed him on those issues, and he said not at all. They fully trusted me. They understood that I was taking care of myself, and it was not an issue, and that's what led him to signing here. So the Hawks have a good handle on this, at least according to Robin Lehner. So if he can keep it together and play anywhere close to what he did last year, where he was a Vezina Trophy finalist, he could be the Blackhawks goalie going forward for the next few years. And I truly believe he can. He is working hard on his mental health, and he seems to be in a really good place.
Well, the Blackhawks clearly have designs on Colin Delia being, at the very least, the backup mm-hmm. over the next couple of years after this. So I think that definitely lends some weight to your theory that this is a dress rehearsal for Robin Lehner. The thing I'm curious about with the Blackhawks and Jeremy Colleton specifically is how he's going to handle that deployment, because we've seen Joel Quenneville in the past when the Blackhawks had a Ray Emery in net, for instance. He would generally play the hot hand. He wasn't wedded to one particular goalie over the other until probably playoff time. He would go in that direction. I'm really interested to see how he handles it. If Corey Crawford scuffles a little bit out of the gate, has a bad two or three games, if he starts those three games in a row, how long does it take for him to go, okay, we're giving the other guy a shot?
Well, and that's a logical thing to do, and I think it's safe to assume that's what Colleton will do, is one guy's playing better than another, he will play that goalie. The one thing we have not learned, well, there's several things we haven't learned, but one of the key things we haven't learned about Jeremy Colleton is his level of loyalty. Is he going to keep somebody like Brent Seabrook in the lineup or Zach Smith in the lineup simply because they're veterans, simply because they've been around? And Corey Crawford is another example of that. He's getting the start today to start the season, which makes sense. He's probably your number one. You're paying him more. He's been here. But I don't want guys playing simply because they've been here and they've won cups before. That's over. That's in the past. If Brent Seabrook struggles this year, he should be in the press box. He should not be on the ice. That's what I need to learn from Jeremy Colleton. Is he going to have blind loyalty simply because a guy has experience and has skins on the wall from being a Blackhawk or whatever earlier in her career?
What did you guys think you learned about Colleton last year?
Definitely learned that he's willing to take some chances. I think reworking an entire system that's been established for 10 seasons takes a certain amount of moxie. And I do appreciate that about him. Now we can discuss whether or not that system's ultimately going to work. We still haven't quite seen that over a full season, but I appreciated his willingness to kind of take some chances. And also, more importantly, to give some guys some opportunities that perhaps they didn't get under Joel Quenneville. Eric Gustafson, like you brought up earlier, Jay, is a really great example of that. Didn't really get a lot of power play time under Joel Quenneville. Once Jeremy Colladin came in and saw what he could do in terms of moving the puck and taking quality shots, he was willing to make that choice. I think that willingness to go with the better option over the guy who's just been there longer, I think works well in his favor. I'm just interested to see if that was just a thing to kind of establish dominance, I guess, in a way, over the locker room, or if it's something he's going to carry forward into this season.
Well, I think one thing Q did too is he would reward people by putting them on the power play, right? You had to almost earn it. Jeremy Cowan is saying which guys fit best for what situations, and that's where he's using them. Eric Gustafson is an offensive defenseman. He should be on the power play. It shouldn't be something that he has to earn by being a solid defender. He's an offensive defenseman. Use him to his strengths. Don't make him work his way onto the power play by trying to improve something he's not good at or not made or not designed to be. He could be a better defender for sure. Maybe he can work harder at improving that part of his game, but don't punish him and take him off the unit because he's not playing defensively how you want him to. If you've got a guy who fits great in that role, use him in that role. That's something Jeremy Cowan, I think, through his short tenure has done. My concern with his system is they play a man-to-man system, and you've got some slow-footed defensemen. And this league is only getting faster. People want to talk about how big and brutal the St. Louis Blues were. They were also fast as hell, and so are the Dallas Stars, and so are the Avalanche, and so are all the other teams in the division the Hawks are going to be playing. So that's a little bit of a concern for me. Are these slow-footed defensemen, as smart and savvy and experienced as they may be, can they keep up in this new NHL? And if they can't, is he going to have to adjust the system on the fly again? And how much does that set you back?
With the penalty kill last year, this was another place where the Blackhawks struggled. How do they get better at it? James, I'm going to start with you.
I think Jay alluded to this earlier. They brought in guys specifically designed to address that problem. You brought in your Zach Smiths and your Ryan Carpenters. I think that's going to be a big part of it. I think the other part is they need to be a little bit less aggressive in terms of looking for shorthanded goals. I noticed that a lot. I don't know if you noticed this last season, Jay, with the forwards, especially at the blue line. They would press really hard at the defenseman trying to steal the puck and to move it up ice. I think what you need to do, play a little bit more of a conservative system, I think, in the defensive zone on those plays. And guys like Smith and Carpenter are going to be really well suited for that. And I think ultimately guys like Calvin DeHaan and Olli Maatta, they should be too if they get those opportunities. I think that to me is probably where I'd start, is maybe be a little bit more conservative and try to be a little bit less assertive in that particular area.
Yeah, that's spot on. And just very simply, and like James just said, the personnel is better. The personnel is now designed to kill penalties. You brought in guys specifically to do that, and it's, look, it can't be worse.
Maybe. See, you say that, but it always can be worse.
I don't know if it could actually be worse than it was last year. But again, just adding these veteran defensemen and these forwards that are willing to go win a battle, that's going to help. That's something Calton talked about from almost the moment he took over, is, you know, it sounds like a hockey cliche, but it's true, and you need it. Guys that play north and south. You've got a lot of guys who will skate around you and try to win pucks that way and get free space, and that's great. But you've got to have some versatility on, diversity on your roster, and they finally have done that now with bringing Shaw back, Zach Smith, and DeHaan and Maatta. Those guys are really going to help on the penalty kill.
Can Nylander and Doc help this team this year?
Yes, They absolutely can. I mean, Nylander, the talent is without question. You see him play in the offensive zone, and you see why he was drafted as high as he was. He's got the pedigree. His dad was a Blackhawk. His brother is a star for the Maple Leafs. He's a Nylander. He plays that style. The problem with him is keeping him focused and keeping him committed in the other two zones. As far as Kirby Doc goes, it really sucks that he was injured in a meaningless prospects tournament because he missed the entire preseason. He's still not ready to play. And while the Hawks have 9 games to take a look at him before they have to decide to send him back to junior or not, his first experience is going to be likely in an NHL regular season game, and that's tough. It's tough to get a judgment on a kid when you have that short of amount of time to look at a guy. If people don't know, if he plays more than 9 games at the NHL, that first year of the contract is burnt. If they send him back 9 or fewer to Saskatoon, then that first year of the contract starts whenever he starts next year. So they've got some time to take a look. It just sucks that he wasn't able to get any preseason time. And because of the CHL rule, they can't send him to Rockford for a rehab start or anything like that. It's either Chicago or Saskatoon, and there's no in between. So hopefully when he does get a look at the NHL level, he'll be ready to go and prove, because he's dynamically skilled. He's built for the NHL. He's got NHL size already, and I do think he can help them big time. When you plug him in as your third-line center instead of David Kampf, mm-hmm. roster looks a hell of a lot better.
There were two things I wanted to add to what you said, Jay. First of all, remember who the Blackhawks traded to get Nylander. They traded Henry Okaharju. Yep. Where is Henry Okaharju right now? In the minor leagues. Buffalo sent him down. The second thing I wanted to point out is the Blackhawks know all of this about Kirby Dach having the limited audition time. He's only going to have 9 games, and when he does come in, it is going to be at the NHL level in a regular season game. And yet they decided to keep him on their roster instead of sending him back down to juniors. That tells me they not only are serious about wanting to give him a chance to play this season and to make an impact this season, it also tells me they think he's ready. And we talked about it on our podcast extensively. Out of all of the prospects that came out of last year's draft, he was the one who probably had the most NHL-ready physicality to his game. And when you watch video of him in close near the net, that type of skill set with the quick hands, the ability to keep guys off the puck, that's really plays in the NHL. And I think the Blackhawks are really convinced that he's going to be able to do that, and they're going to give him every opportunity to do so.
Hockey.
That's right, hockey. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Bulldog Ale House, you guys are going to go over there and watch the game?
Yep, 901 South State. Rick Camp's favorite place.
It's a solid place. You can check out James's work on NBC Chicago, not to be confused with NBC Sports Chicago. He's working on the big one on Channel 5 itself, doing all sorts of content for them. Jay Zawoski, you can check out here on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And you should check out their podcast, the Madhouse Podcast. If you're not a subscriber, you should be. Guys, thank you for giving my show a little bit of your podcast vibe as we open up Blackhawks season.
All right, can I plug my new podcast too?
Sure.
Locked On Blackhawks. It's a daily half hour. The Madhouse Podcast is me and James just breaking it down for an hour every week. The Locked On Blackhawks podcast is every day, half hour, very newsy, lots of interviews, so a different style. Madhouse is going nowhere, but there's also Locked On Blackhawks if you want to check that out too.
They're great. James Naveau, Jay Zawoski, they love hockey, and they're going to talk hockey with me throughout the year, which is very exciting. You can check them out on the Madhouse podcast, and they're going to Bulldog Ale House now to go watch the game. There is some news via London about the Bears. I'm going to take a break, and then I will share it with you next here on The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm so happy that the guys from the Madhouse podcast were able to come in and do that hockey with us for a little while. I am Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Our focus is going to turn to Bears versus Raiders in London and some of the news coming out of the Bears practice. Kyle Long says he's playing, so you can mark that down. Akeem Hicks is listed as questionable. He is a game time decision, and it looks like, according to Matt Nagy, that Roquan Smith is ready to roll and that he will play on Sunday against Oakland. As you can imagine, Mitch Trubisky is out. They still need a roster move, don't they, Campy? Don't they need to cut somebody and sign Tyler Bray? Or are they feel like they can wing it with Chase Daniel and Trey Burton backing them up?
I bet they're just going to wait till the last possible second to do it. Like, they probably already know what they're going to do, but they're probably just going to wait.
Gamesmanship.
Really? It's gamesmanship? Like, you're trying to... Well, we're going to trick him because
you don't know who's our backup.
You have no idea. So don't knock Derek Carr out of the game, Khalil Mack.
Which would you rather see?
Oh.
As backup quarterback.
I'd, I'd honestly rather see Trey Burton.
Me too.
Here's what I'd rather see. I'd rather see, it's not Trey Burton versus versus Tyler Bray. It's Trey Burton and versus Tyler Bray. Give me whatever it is that Nagy's gonna do.
Like let him just go buck wild for a half or something.
Yeah, because it's not just gonna be Trey Burton. It's gonna be Trey Burton and Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery and Cordell Patterson. Like it's gonna be a lot. So I'd rather have the Bears do, and maybe that's what the Bears are thinking too. Maybe they're like, you know what? Screw that extra roster spot for Tyler Bray. Because if we end up having to play Tyler Bray, we'd be better off just doing this thing. I'd pay money for that. I'd watch that with great interest.
That'd be fun to watch. Yeah, I'm not going. Yeah, I would definitely be looking forward to that.
All right, wait. All right.
Not wishing harm on, you know, Chase Daniel.
No, not at all. No.
Who would throw the ball down the field further, Trey Burton or the guy that's hurt?
You mean Trubisky?
Yeah.
Oh, Trubisky.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not saying he's going to connect on the pass, but I think he probably has a better arm.
Oh, no, I'm saying willingness.
Oh, Trey Burton is a bombs away, man. He's okay. Going to let it fly. Let me ask you the texter at 670-11. Which would you rather see? Like, we need to come up with a name because to make it easy for people to text in. What are we going to call the group of quarterbacks that the Bears already have on the roster that are basically going to be running Wildcat? So could we just call it Wildcat, the Wildcat QBs? Okay, which would you rather see happen? Would you rather see, if something happens to Chase Daniel in this game, would you rather see Tyler Bray play quarterback or the Wildcat QBs? And that's Trey Burton and Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery and Cordarrelle Patterson. So just text us and let us know which way you would go on that, 670-11. Because I'm all for just bring on the Wildcat QBs. Let's just make it a circus. Because there's no expectation on Tyler Bray, right? I mean, other than I expect him to be bad.
Yeah, it's not going to be good with him, so it might as well be interesting bad instead of meh bad.
Right. Like this thing where if they had all the guys in the backfield, I feel like it'd be more interesting and fun. If we're watching Tyler Bray like flop around back there, and maybe he shocks us. Maybe if Tyler Bray gets to the game, we're like, oh, now, okay, new question. Which would you rather see? Tyler Bray play backup or the Wildcat QBs, or Tyler Bray plays well and now we have a three-headed monster in our quarterback controversy?
Oh, so we're taking realistic out of the equation?
Yeah, it's Friday. We're just going to have fun. We'll do all the real stuff with JJ at 1 o'clock. But think about that. Think about, all right, so Chase Daniel goes down in the first six plays of the game, and then Tyler Bray comes in, and he moves the Bears down the field, and the offense seems to work, and they win the game, and they got the bye week. And then I come back here on Monday, and the first phone call I take is, screw Trubisky and Daniels, bring on Tyler Bray. That's my quarterback.
No, I still want the bullpen guys. Like one of the texters put it as a Bears bullpen game. I want that because then, even when Trubisky's back, when Matt Nagy gets to a third and one, he won't wait to put. He will not be able to contain himself for putting all those guys in there doing a bunch of junk on third and one.
Well, we know that Cohen can throw the ball. We know that Trey Burton was a college quarterback. Patterson, did he throw the ball when he was with the Vikings? Because I don't think he did it when he was with the Patriots.
I don't think so. The Vikings ever figured out how to use him?
No, they did not. They did not. But I'm here for the three-headed monster quarterback controversy and you having to take those calls. Because
that's the part that I'm not looking forward to.
Here's the texter. This guy is already primed for it. He's already primed for it. You ready? Why are you making fun of Bray? The guy is not that bad. Oh, really? And what roster is he on? See?
Tyler Bray left college in 2013. He still has practice squad eligibility.
Well, they changed the practice squad rules.
I don't care.
How many? So he's Harvey Unga, right?
Yeah.
Quarterback Harvey Unga. Let's go.
Isn't Tyler Bray Harvey Unga?
Pretty much.
So
6'6", a rocking 215, solid bum.
Well, I don't know about him. Well, probably. When's the last time he threw a pass in an NFL game?
He's 0-for-1 in his career.
Okay.
A little rough start, but you can come back from that, right?
That gave him a 39.6 passer rating for whatever that's worth.
But wait, I thought that if you hadn't played in the NFL for a while, then no one should consider you for a roster spot. Right? Isn't that the thing with the guy? Because, like, hey, what about that guy that's out there who's good? Well, he hasn't played for 3 years. When did Tyler Bray play?
2017 for the Chiefs. Hold on, I got to go to the game logs to see when that happened.
Let's do this.
And by that, I mean the game log. It was week 17.
Let's go. What did he do?
2017. Let's see. One rush, 0 yards.
Okay. Promising.
0-for-1 passing. He had a fumble.
Did he really? There's already a Tyler Bray stan. That guy's already a Tyler Bray stan, and he's never seen him play in the pros. And if he did, he saw him miss a pass, fumble a ball, and run for no yards.
Is that worse than being a Tennessee football fan? Because that's where you'd have to be to have seen him play.
Wait, Tennessee still have football?
Yeah, kind
of. Are you sure? Because, I mean, I've heard some things.
Well, didn't they take one of your people to do that job?
Jeremy Pruitt? They did, but the results have not been great.
I know.
Every time I look up, Tennessee is getting their butts handed to them sure by somebody else.
I wasn't sure if you're going to disown the Bama guy.
Well, no, once you leave, you're disowned, Dabo. You're out. He will be back.
And then once you get fired and you have some issues off the field, you come back, and then you rebuild that reputation, apparently.
Yeah. This texter says, is Kaepernick playing football in any capacity? Yeah, he's been working out with NFL people.
Is Tyler Bray?
Right. Honestly, isn't Kaepernick basically doing the same thing that Tyler Bray is? He's just not getting a paycheck for it. Like NFL, like Saquon went and worked out with Kaepernick. Like real dudes are working out with him.
Literally the only thing Tyler Bray has over him is he has viewed the playbook.
That's true. No, that's true.
And he knows the playbook. That is literally it. So like if it was, you know, Trubisky's going to be back and starting after the bye week, then that is the one instance, very specific, narrow instance where you would say Tyler Bray, I guess the better option for that one individual game over Colin Kaepernick.
No, but we're still, I'm hoping that Chase Daniel survives the game and they play well and all that good stuff. But if he doesn't, then I want the chaos. And the chaos is not Tyler Bray. The chaos is the Wildcat guys. Like that's what you're looking for. Like that's like if I say to you, like Chase Daniel goes down, you know the defense of the Bears is gonna, you know, probably handle the Raiders offense. And then it's like, well, can they score enough points to make this worthwhile and the Bears escape into the bye week at 4-1? Well, maybe that's gonna make you lean into your chair. If you see Tyler Bray come out there, you're gonna be like, I gotta slog through this game. And the Bears will win 6-3.
Then red zone?
Oh, you're right. Well, I mean, I can't do that. Although we do have it on.
By the way, shame on the NFL for giving us 10 noon games and only 2 afternoon games.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it because the Bears game is a noon game here, but it's a night game there. Still,
Chargers Broncos is the one non-spotlight afternoon game, but it's like, you can't just have a couple of those, like in the either central time zone, be afternoon games. Come on.
I'm with you. This texter says that Tyler Bray's going to make $212,000 this year. Nice. Must be nice.
Legend at the bank.
Hey, if you get to play quarterback, you get a jersey with your name on it. You get to practice. You get a paycheck. That is a very livable paycheck.
Without getting hit?
Without getting hit, you are winning.
The stories telling the grandkids?
Yeah, I was there when Mitchell Trubisky threw a pick in practice. Like,
I was a Bear, won the division, went 12-4.
We went to London. Like, I get to do all that stuff, and I don't get hit.
I can't wait for that one video in like 20 years. Ah, this is Jason Gray, the grandson of, Bray, grandson of Tyler Bray, starting his first NFL game.
At Bears 150? Yeah.
And Tyler Bray's grandpa's going to be like, he's much further ahead than Tyler was at this age.
It's true. It's totally true. All right, we'll stop some of the foolishness. We're going to talk with JJ Stankovic, who is going to join us in the next segment. Did I tell you that this segment is being brought to you by Valparaiso University? We all want to be part of something bigger. At Valparaiso University, you can be a part of something bigger without losing yourself in the crowd, and you'll discover that making the world a better place isn't wishful thinking. Visit valpo.edu to request information, apply, or schedule a visit. And with the first pick in the plumbing and heating supply draft, contractors select supplyhouse.com. With next day delivery speed and total inventory coverage, supplyhouse.com does it all. Stop wasting your time and money. Supplyhouse.com, your online supplier for plumbing, heating, HVAC. Take it to the house. Supplyhouse.com. What's better, NBA assistant or third string NFL quarterback that's never going to play?
Tyler Bray or Randy Brown?
Yeah, which one of those guys you want to be?
NBA assistant.
NBA assistant is very, you see some things. But same thing can be said. Yes, you do. But the same thing can be said for an NFL third string. You see some things. Stuff comes your way. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Wildcats as they host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. We'll talk with JJ Stankovic. It's in London to preview the Bears game. Who's in? Who's out? JJ's going to tell us next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.